Hello and welcome to Freshwater. You're listening to a message from our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
All right, that was Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the great orators of all time. He was in the 1800s. He lived, and he pastored the very first megachurch ever, pales by today's standards, but still, in London, England. And he started pastoring the church when he was 19 years old, pastored for 38 years there until he died. And he spoke to 10 million people in the course of his life, sometimes preaching 10 times a week. He also had founded a college there, and on Fridays he would speak to the college students. And he said famously one time, he said, "Students, when you speak of heaven, you need to have your face shine with the sweetness of Christ. Your eyes need to sparkle with the glory of God. And when you speak of hell, well, your regular face will do just fine." And it's a truth, isn't it? You know, when we're worshiping or whatever, you know, to have our face reflect what we're talking about. And so we're in this series called Presence. And this series, like we have been doing through the last series and this series, and actually in the next series too, we're going to be looking at how the wisdom of the Word and the Spirit of God work together in our lives. And here we're looking at the presence of God, the greatest gift of Christmas. Matthew 1, 22 and 23 is kind of our overarching text for the series. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Jesus's name is Jesus, which means salvate, the Lord's salvation. But he is called Emmanuel, God with us. Next week, we're going to look at, I want to encourage you to be here next week. Next week, we're going to look at practicing the presence of God. And how do we put this into practice in our life, and looking ahead into 2013 about practicing the presence of God. And then after that, January, we're going to look at War of the Worlds. Neato graphic, War of the Worlds. And we'll start a series, and we're not alone. And there is an enemy. And we're going to look at War of the Worlds and look at kind of some deeper spiritual realities that are around us. Today, we are looking at between Advents. We are, as we're celebrating Christmas, we're celebrating an ancient holiday called Advent. And we are between Advents, which is different than being between jobs. We are between Advents, and it makes Emmanuel, God with us, all the more important. Today, I'm on a mission for a bigger Christmas. I want a bigger Christmas, and that begins by understanding more of what's going on. For 200 years after Jesus rose from the dead, early Christians celebrated one thing: the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was their celebration. Every day they celebrated, "Jesus has rose from the dead." For 200 years, they celebrated it every day, but they also celebrated it every week on Sunday. The reason that we worship on Sunday and the Jews worship on Saturday is because Sunday was the day of the week that Jesus rose from the dead. And early Christians, our best, earliest, and only evidence we have is that early Christians celebrated every Sunday with a worship service to honor and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So they celebrated every day, they celebrated every week, and then, as we know, every year on the anniversary of Jesus rising from the dead, they celebrated with what we call today Easter, the resurrection. Well, it took about 200 years of celebrating all that all the time before we went, you know what? We have even more good news. We have something else we can celebrate. We can celebrate Advent. Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, which means the coming. And it celebrates Jesus' first coming and anticipates his second coming. And that's important for us this Christmas to remember this ancient holiday. 200 years after Christ rose from the dead, Christians began celebrating over about a month, month and a half, a period of time where they reflected on Jesus' first coming and his second coming. So I'm going to begin with the last, his second coming. At the second advent, the second Adventus, the second coming, at what early Christians looked at, what they looked toward. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with a voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." Well, that verse makes it clear. Jesus isn't coming as a baby again, as to the chagrin of many movie makers today. He's coming in the clouds, and we will meet him there. That's going to be awesome for those of us who like high speed and heights. That's going to be great. and so we're going to meet him in the air. And this is the time to look forward to that moment. Ancient Christians marked this time of year to especially focus their heart on longing for his return. To take some time and just, oh, that'd be great. Jesus, come soon. And they took this time of year to focus on yearning for that day, looking forward to that day when Jesus will return. They took this time to especially not only long for that day, but to be alert for that day, to look around and notice the signs of the times, and to be alert. Could it be now? Is it this time? And they looked at this time of year to contemplate, how should my life be different because Jesus is returning soon? Imagine, if you will, if there was a date and you happen to know it. Please don't set another end of the world date. I've had enough. But if you knew, what if we knew? What if we knew it was 5 years from now? That we had 5 years. How would we live differently? How would we live differently in our own hearts and minds and lives? What would we do differently? Ancient Christians took this time to think about that. Not only 5 years, and I hate to even say it because we have a hard time thinking 5 years ahead, right? We're very immediate type of culture. But what if it was 50 years? Those 50 years, how would you live differently if Jesus was coming in 50 years? Oh, dare I say, now, ancient Christians were much better at thinking long term. What if it was 100 years from now? How would we live differently? How would we get our grandkids there and that generation? How would we reach two generations away? What would we do differently? Ancient Christians took this time to anticipate and to look forward to that day when Jesus would be coming, and to think about, how would I live differently? How would I celebrate differently? How could I be more alert for his time and long for it all the more? We live in that same anticipation, but we're that much closer. Our longing, our alertness, our contemplation ought to be that much greater. The second advent, Jesus coming again, is part of this celebration. But as I've mentioned, not only did they look to the second coming, but these ancient Christians celebrated the first coming. Jesus born in a manger. Jesus coming as a baby and dying on a cross for us. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a child is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah, writing this hundreds of years before Christ, saw the time to come. And we look back on the time that came of the first coming of Jesus. Notice this verse, though, does look forward. This verse does look forward to the second coming. You notice the government will be on his shoulders. Now, I got to tell you, this kind of excited me this week as I looked at this text and I was thinking about it and I was thinking, you know, we are looking forward to a second coming because in the course of events, the government will be placed on his shoulders, which caught my attention that, you know what, Jeff? Every time you're frustrated with the government, you're really longing for his return. You're longing for that day when the government will be placed on Jesus' shoulders. You know, I don't know about you, we're all Americans. We're all frustrated with the government, right? That's something that we have in common. That's a kind of common thread that we have. We kind of look and go, you guys have each your own brain, or are you all wired to one somehow? I don't know. Does it work? What were you thinking? I don't get it. You know, every time you watch the news and you go, duh, that's our longing for his return. Jesus, the government will be placed on his shoulders. He is wise and just and true. Well, of course, got off on a little side note there. This main part of the text talks about his coming. Christians, ancient Christians, took a period of Advent and they celebrated Advent. They looked forward to the second coming, and we talked about that, and they looked back to the first coming and they celebrated Jesus coming. The one Sunday that part was called Christ Mass, which became Christmas, that we celebrated the first coming. And here in this text, we see the wonderfulness of Jesus being born. He is Emmanuel, God with us, our wonderful counselor. You know, just that perfect therapist to heal our broken hearts. He is Emmanuel, God with us, the mighty God coming in power. Lord, hear our prayer. He is Emmanuel, God with us, everlasting Father, no temporary peace about him. He is Emmanuel, God with us, the Prince of Peace. It is his presence that we yearn for on Christmas. We yearn for his presence in our lives. And this is a time to celebrate Jesus' coming, because his presence is here.
Well, as yesterday, as I was looking at this, I was going, you know what, Jeff, you kind of put a whole series into one message, so I'm sorry. We're going to move along in my quest for a bigger Christmas. First, we looked at the mission for a bigger Christmas, and now let's look at the gift of a bigger Christmas. I'm going to be flipping ahead to Hebrews chapter 10, and this text is also celebrating Jesus. And so let's look at what this Jesus has done as we are between two Advents, his first coming and his second coming, and live in his presence, Emmanuel, God with us. So Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to him with sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching.
This text here in the middle of Hebrews, who would know, is a Christmas text. It's talking about Jesus' first coming. It's talking about his second coming. And it's talking about right now in the middle and what life is like there. You know, this we've discovered in our house that kids go through phases of Christmas. Kind of figured this out, especially this week. The first phase, you know, I kind of like the first phase best of all. That's where the box and the wrapping is just as nice as the gift. Maybe even a little better, you know, because it's cool. It's a box and a paper, you know. And that was, you know, a fun stage of our boys and watching them open gifts and go, wow, what a cool box. Nice box, you know. And then second phase is where, you know, we learned that a toy that engages the child's imagination lasts a very long time. You know, there's quite a few Christmas gifts that were like, you know, this big elaborate thing that we put together together, and then it was like, wow, it goes round and round. And then about an hour later, it's like, yeah, it goes round and round. and then off to something else. And so phase two is where we learn that engaging a child's imagination, the toy lasts a long, long time. And then phase three, your toys are expensive, so you get two. So that's phase three, you know, two. That's what you get. They're expensive toys. And then apparently, as we learned this week, that there's a phase four, and that is where the annual hidden tradition to parents of searching mom and dad's room for unwrapped yet presents ends. You know, apparently this was an annual thing. We just figured out this year that this was a tradition in our house that we had no idea about, that they would go search our room over that. So, you know, through this all, I'm looking for a bigger Christmas. It's not about the gifts. It's about his presence. This text talks about his presence, access to the gift, Emmanuel, God with us. The text says, since we have access to the most holy place, because Jesus has come, we have access to the most holy place, to the presence of God. But by the cross of Jesus, by a new and living way, our text in Hebrews says, a way, a road, a path of life. Because of that new path of life, because we have a great high priest in heaven, Jesus in heaven now, on our behalf. Because of that, we have access to the Most High God. There are five gifts of the Advent listed here. Five gifts that come because Jesus has come. Because Jesus was born and laid in a manger and grew up and died on a cross. There are five gifts that are available to us between the Advents. The first one says, let us draw near to God. That's what we've been talking about. His very presence is available to us. We can draw near to God. His heart, his spirit. We can know him. We can walk and live in his being. That is the first and greatest gift of the Advent. The second one is, let us hold unswervingly to the hope, to this hope, unswervingly to this hope. His presence gives us hope, a sure future that we look forward to. That is this unswerving hope. And let us spur one another on to good works. Because Jesus has come, because he was born in the manger and shepherds were all around, and because he grew up and he died on a cross for us, we can do good works in his name and in his power. That is his presence. It says, and it continues, let us meet together. Well, I think there's something great that happens together. When we're here together, and we worship, there is something that can't be replicated anyplace else. Meeting together as believers looking to him is a gift. It is a gift of Advent.
And then third, let us encourage one another as we see the day of the second coming, appearing. As we see that day coming soon, we encourage one another. And there is an encouragement that Christians can give to one another that is far greater than any other encouragement there is. It is a gift of Jesus Christ that we can do that. And it is His presence in a very real way. Bigger Christmas. I'm looking toward a bigger Christmas. What's the mission of a bigger Christmas and the gift of a bigger Christmas? And as I mentioned, I'm doing a whole series in one message. In Luke chapter 2, as we look at the great joy of a bigger Christmas. So in Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests.'" Oh, there's great joy to His presence, to the first advent, to the second advent. There is great joy. By the way, a little side note here. Almost every time in Scripture, when an angel appears, their very first words out of their mouths are, "Don't be afraid." Now, often in our artwork, we portray angels as cute little pixie baby kids with wings. Scripture's picture of angels are of another created being. You know, people who die don't become angels. They're another created order. And they are powerful creatures of God, creation of God. And so, when they appear to humans, that power that they have could be quite frightening. And so the very first words out of their mouth is always, "Don't be afraid. I'm here from God. Don't be afraid." And so a little side note there. Every year our family gathers around the living room for Christmas. We pass out gifts and we exchange thoughtfulness and thank yous and love. Here's the first one. Look at this. So we did that. And then there were two. So skip ahead. And 19, I was doing the awes this week. And Dad, I remember when they were cute. You know, now they're just hungry. You know, they got food. We're going to eat. Is there a snack? Then there were three, and we sit around and we exchange thoughtfulness, and we exchange thank yous and love. Those four, yay, and then we'll skip to, or no more skip, 2006. So this is something really special in our house. It's not about the presents, it's about the thoughtfulness. It's not about the wrapping, it's thanking each other, loving each other, thinking about each other. And it's a time just to focus on those events. There, as great of a joy that is, and I can't wait, it's even a greater joy for a bigger Christmas. Great joy is available to us because Jesus, the Savior, has been born to us. The angel says, good news of great joy, a Savior has been born. He is for all people, not for a particular time, not for a particular class, not for a particular race, but for all people, He's available. That is great news of surpassing joy. Great joy of an encounter as well.
The special presence of Jesus erupts in unique praise. Glory to God in the highest. And it continues. Great joy of supernatural peace. Astounding peace. Peace with God. Astounding peace. Peace deep within your soul. Astounding peace, and if we let it, even between people. This is good news. Great joy. It's a bigger Christmas. So how can we make our Christmas bigger? Well, I know what you're thinking, because I've been through it too. It's like, oh man, you don't know how busy this has been. Whew, man, how can we do more? How could we have a bigger Christmas? It's just so much, right? It's so busy. It's crazy. In fact, I thought yesterday I was driving, and I thought, oh, I should stop by the mall. And I took the exit, and I went, no, I should not stop by the mall. It's Saturday before Christmas. I'm not going to stop at the mall. It's craziness. Well, so how can we make this bigger? How can we do this two Advent, living between two Advents thing? And really look ahead to Jesus is coming soon. And look back that Jesus has come, and live in the Emmanuel, the God with us, his presence today. Well, I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to say stop. First S, Scripture. Spend some time in Scripture. Just looking at his first coming and also at his second coming. Look at Jesus coming again soon and what that's going to be like, and look forward to how that will change. So S, Scripture. T, time alone with God. Meditate, listen, pray, experience Emmanuel, his presence. Just take some time out and off to focus in on him. It takes time, as much as I wish it would happen in a flash. I need to prepare my heart, and it takes time to just calm down the exterior and focus in on him. Oh, observe. As much as the bah humbugs want to come out with all the busyness, observe the Advents. Take some time to celebrate his first coming, anticipate his second coming, and live in this moment of his presence. Observe. And P, prepare. What should be different? Because Jesus is here and is coming soon. What could we do differently? Prepare. Charles Spurgeon said something fascinating in that message that we saw at the beginning. He said, what would it be like without that one word, Emmanuel, God with us? What would it be like if we were between two Advents and God wasn't with us in this period? What would that be like? The presence of God, Emmanuel, changes everything. Everything. Christmas is indeed about the presence. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this period of time that ancient Christians saw that we have very much to celebrate. And Lord, we do thank you and celebrate that Jesus has come. Lord, we pray that as in the midst of our busyness, that we would worship and fellowship with your Spirit. Lord, we look ahead to the second coming with great anticipation and joy. We lean in and yearn for that time. And right now, we welcome your presence into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.